everything's kind of a breakdown and a small microcosm of the bigger picture. So you're not just running drills for the sake of running drills because you don't know what else to do. You've actually thought about how can we get better at what we're doing globally while we're doing drills and skills type things earlier in a practice.
You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout, the podcast that dissects the mind of a different basketball coach every episode. We uncover what makes them successful and how their story translates to your coaching journey. Let's unlock your team's potential together. Welcome to episode 9 of the Coach Calls Timeout podcast. Dan Jonker here. Before we get started, let's talk about what we can do for you. Here at Coach Calls Timeout, we have an innovative basketball coaching resource that includes plays and drills in video format that you can download and play directly on your laptop, phone, or tablet. We have a membership program that's currently $24 for an entire year. And as a member of Coach Calls Timeout, you'll receive access to everything we have to offer, and we know it will help you along your coaching journey. Here's what we're going to do for you. Listeners of this podcast can now receive a free 7-day trial to sample everything we have to offer. To take advantage of the free trial, just go to coachcallstimeout.com, click Join Now, and use the coupon code PODCAST. I'll provide a link in the show notes at coachcallstimeout.com/9. That's the number 9. Today's episode is the second installment of the 7-part series called The Basketball Coaching Roadmap, where we explore the 7 areas where all successful coaches shine. If you haven't listened to the previous episode that shares how to improve communication with your players and their parents, and the positive effects everyone will experience, you should go back and check it out now. Even coaches need to train, and now that we're officially into the basketball offseason, you can treat this 7-part series like your own personal offseason coaching course. Our goal is to add a little bit more to your coaching portfolio with each episode, and by next season you'll be ready to shine. In this episode, we're going to talk about being organized as a coach and how it can actually improve your team's level of play. We get into some tips about different ways to increase organizational skills and a great way to set up your practices to maximize your gym time. Let's join the discussion with myself and my brother, Coach Brian Jonker, already in progress. Brian, do you have anything specific that you focus on as in terms of being organized?
Well, I think there's still different levels of organization. I can organize my season before it even starts, as far as things as simple as your game schedules, your tournament schedules, how you've plotted to spread them out, give you the best chance to maximize rest and potential preparation for the next upcoming team. For my younger kids, my U13 girls, again, I can plan out the whole season schedules as far as tournaments go, exhibitions, those types of things. But on a whole other level, you can go and actually plan out, okay, by, you know, this is the capacity of my team, I believe, at least at the start. And I think that by, you know, the second month in, we should be able to implement this. By the third month, we can implement that. Hopefully by the end of the year, we're doing this, that, the other. And you can almost map out how you want to start and when you want to start introducing things into your practices so that you can start adding more things to your arsenal, I guess, with your group. So each group is different.
Do you do that according to the team that you have, or is that something that's set out, like, you know, in week 6, we should be able to have a 2-1-2 press or something like that? Like, or is it just kind of you go by feel on what you have that specific year?
Well, you're going to have an idea of what you have, you know, after your tryouts. In my case, with the girls, I've had the same core group of girls for 4 years. With my guys team, obviously, my men's college team, I'm recruiting guys, so I have guys who are returning, and then I have guys I've recruited that I'm familiar with their skill sets. So depending on how many seniors I might have with my guys or juniors, you know, might allow you to start right into a season, you know, at level 2 or level 3 of the things that you want to work on. This year, I'm going to be very young. I'm going to have 7 freshmen. So we're going to be, you know, at the first 3-4 months of the season, we'll scale things back, and we might only have, you know, a handful of inbounds plays, a handful of set plays on offense. We might concentrate on 1 pressure defense, and then 1 zone and 1 man-to-man offense or defense. So we'll keep it pretty simple, and then we'll gauge the intellect of that group as we go. And if they're able and they have the basketball IQ to handle more, then we'll make that adjustment and start adding more in. But typically, if it's a more experienced group, we'll already start at that level. But I could practice, or I can plan my entire season before it even starts. Now, that doesn't mean you don't vary from that or adjust or gauge where you're at and maneuver things accordingly.
The word you're looking for is adapt. That's next episode. Adaptability.
Yes. Yes. So we definitely, you've got to be able to adapt. But so as far as your initial question, I mean, that's on the global sense. We're preparing and we're organizing a whole season before it starts. But day to day, obviously, each practice is organized so that you can maximize your gym time. You know, not everybody's fortunate enough to just be able to have a gym and use it for as long as you want. So you have to take advantage of the time that you have, and you don't want wasted time of people standing around and coaches deciding what they're going to do next. So organizing your practices ahead of time is important. And it doesn't even need to be you don't have to be extremely detailed if you have an idea of what each of the things you want to do. So my practices, I tend to put points, and I'll say, 6 to 6:15, I want to do this. 6:15 to 6:20, I want to do this. 6:20 to 6:40, this. 6:40 to 6:45, a drink. 6:45 to 7, we're working on this. And I'll break it into those things. Within those, if there's little points I want to emphasize, I might write them down. But otherwise, I'll know what I want to do with those things. And I can review it with our assistant coaches before each practice as well.
So some of the coaches that might be listening to this, they may be self-conscious about their knowledge level as a coach. There's this great concept of fake it to make it. I think the best way to disguise your lack of knowledge is to actually be organized. Come to practice with a plan. Don't hum and haw your way through it. And players will follow suit. They know when you don't know what you're talking about. The more you sit and think about what you're going to do in between drills, the more time kids have to get disinterested, and practice loses momentum. And just being organized keeps everything on track.
Yeah, if you have the ability, with my guys, I've got a manager, so we'll have the score clock out, and we compete in everything that we do. My guys, girls, whatever level it is, I try to compete in every drill and every scrimmage and every whatever we do, we try to compete. But when you have a manager that can keep the clock going, and I've got that piece of paper kind of in my pocket or in my hand that says, hey, we're doing this from this time to this time, all I do is yell over and say, hey, 15 minutes. They'll put 15 on it. They'll start it. If it's a score cap drill or a score cap thing, they'll keep score. But that clock, when the buzzer sounds, I try not to linger on what it is that we're doing, because I find, just like when I speak now, if I start speaking, I don't stop. And I think if you are organized enough, and when that time's up, you can force yourself to move on to the next thing, you'll maximize what you want to accomplish in the time frame that you have.
And I think it also shows that you're actually interested. You took the time to think ahead, plan ahead, be prepared. And for your younger group, the parents are at practices for the most part, and it proves to them that you're interested in and you're serious about your role as the coach of their children. Having parents on your side is always a good thing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it really goes to what we talked about in the first step of the coaching roadmap, though, is the communication aspect. So if you're communicating with your parents, they're seeing that you're organized, you're communicating with your players, a lot of the things fall in place. You know, my U13 girls were extremely fortunate. Over 4 years, I've had virtually no complaints from any parents in 4 years about playing time, about what we're doing, about anything like that. So I think I'm fortunate in that I got a great parent group. I think I'm also in a little unique situation in that I think that, you know, I have the title of being a head coach at a college. So I think automatically, whether deserved or not, that adds a little bit of respect with a young group like that that you might not get if you were just a parent. But in general, like you said, if you're organized and if you're communicating, I think it keeps everybody, parent-wise anyways, on your side, and it makes the job a lot easier.
So with your younger group, the girls, even with the college, I mean, I don't know if at Mohawk if you handle it as much as you would with the girls, but there's all kinds of things to prepare for and be organized with tournaments, setting up hotels. I don't know if you do an itinerary for the players so they know, you know, when games are for the tournaments, where they're staying, all that kind of stuff. How much goes into it from your end?
Well, I'm very fortunate at the college. Obviously, we have a staff of people that look after a lot of, as far as game details, like, you know, scheduling, signing contracts,
pre-game meals,
buses, hotels, those types of things are all looked after for us. When it comes to the meals or the schedule, as far as, you know, curfews, shoot arounds, maybe we watch film the day of a game if we're on the road, you know, all those types of things, obviously I have control of. I don't hand out an itinerary to my guys, but they're well aware of what's expected and when we're going to be where we're supposed to be. With the girls, I'm extremely fortunate again, because my wife, Stacy, is one of our assistants for that team, and she handles all the managerial stuff as well. So she's extremely organized. She does all the practice scheduling, the exhibition scheduling, the tournament scheduling. She has to take my men's Mohawk team schedule, and she compares it to what's available out there for our girls under 13. And we have to work the girls' schedule around my guys' schedule so that I'm able to be there all the time. So we practice 3 times a week with our girls. We have exhibition games, and we have about 6 or 7 tournaments. So all those tournaments have to fit on weekends where my guys don't have games on the road. All those practices have to be at different times of the week when I don't have practice with my guys. So typically 3 times a week, I go from a guy's practice to a girl's practice or a girl's practice to a guy's. I think having good help makes a big difference. So if you're doing a younger age and you can recruit a parent who's well organized, they're worth their weight in gold. If you're with an older, more experienced group, working maybe in a high school or obviously at a college level, then probably a lot of that stuff gets done for you, which is a big help. But certainly organization is so important. And, you know, it just takes a lot of with girls, all I think about is building the relationships and X's and O's. I don't bother myself with any of the other stuff. I let my wife say, you're supposed to be here at this time. You're supposed to be there at that time. This weekend we're here. Game times are this. She tells me where to go. And I'm extremely grateful for that, because I have too many other things to think about when it comes to coaching 2 different teams at 2 different levels. So an organized person around you makes a massive amount of difference if you can find a good one.
So would that be the number one recommendation, I guess, from your end, is find someone that can help?
Yeah, I mean, help is tough to find. So I think some people, you know, almost accept any help. And I'm not going to fault anybody for doing that, that's for sure. But if you are capable of finding, you know, almost recruiting good help, or if there's parents on your team and you know one's maybe a little more organized than another because you've had some history, take that person. The organized person is, like I said, they're worth their weight in gold. That if you can avoid that type of stuff, it makes your job a lot easier. And it's extremely, extremely important.
Yeah, I've played on teams that are very organized and teams that are unorganized. And the play resembles the organization level. The teams that I've played on that are unorganized, people actually forget their shoes to the games. It's unbelievable the things that happen that don't happen on an organized team.
I see it all the time. My daughters, both of them play fastball, softball, for travel teams or rep teams. So they both have play on teams that are well organized, but they go to the trouble. They get emails on a daily basis telling them what to wear, what to bring, right down to sunscreen and umbrellas and whatever, if the weather's going to be nice. And so it's, that stuff takes a lot of burden away from the coaches. And I agree with you. If there is an organization at the top, it definitely filters down. I mean, in coaching in general, you'll find that teams mimic their coaches. The coach is screaming and yelling all the time, then the players typically are probably going to be a little bit more that way. If the coach doesn't worry about certain things, the players don't worry about certain things. If the coach doesn't get upset, the players won't. And it filters all the way down, and its organization is just a part of all that. And like you pointed out, you'll be able to tell a lot about a team by just, or about a coach by just watching his team.
So this is going to be a quick episode. We'll get into the nitty gritty here and maybe talk about practice plans. This is definitely the biggest thing that coaches should focus on in terms of improving your team's efficiency. There's nothing worse than having a great drill for 5 minutes. Then you sit and wait for 4 minutes until coach tells you what to do next. And all momentum, everything that you're so excited about is gone. You basically just sat on the bench for 4 minutes and now you have to get back in there and be at 100% again. It's such a burden for players and coaches to waste that time. Is there anything that you talked about the practice plans and you get right down into the minute. Is that how you treat your practices?
Yeah, and I think that you have to take your big picture focus and break it down. So if, for example, your base offense uses a lot of, say, ball screens, then when you're working on drills, maybe early fundamental drills earlier in a practice, then I might plan for there to be a lot of screening and rolling and screening and popping and, you know, screening and fading, different types of drills that are going to incorporate the little things that go on inside of your offense. Same thing defensively. If your philosophy is to push sidelines and baselines in your half court, then maybe you run shell drills in your practice or in your drill time and you focus on those types of things. So everything's kind of a breakdown and a small microcosm of the bigger picture. So you're not just running drills for the sake of running drills because you don't know what else to do. You've actually thought about how can we get better at what we're doing globally while we're doing drills and skills type things earlier in a practice. So that's a challenge for the coach. I mean, you almost can set your practice up backwards. So if you do your skill development early in the practice and your team stuff later in the practice, write your things down for your team stuff back to front. So maybe I start at the end of practice and say, okay, we're going to do this at the end, working on this, and then back it up so that when you get to the skills portion, you can take things from what you're working on that day. You know, if it's a zone press, incorporate some of those things when you get to the front of practice in the drills and skills session. And maybe you have to make some drills and skills up, or maybe you got to go on a website like we have and pull some suggestions off of it, or get creative and think of different things that, you know, there are drills that we've just made up. We've sat around as coaches and said, look, we got to get better at this. Can anybody got any ideas? And then all of a sudden, you know, a day later, one of the coaches says, hey, I got a drill that I've made up, and we throw it together and see how it goes. So you can't be afraid to try new things. But I think when you're organizing a practice, there should be a purpose behind what you're doing.
For sure. So one of the things that we're going to be adding to our website for the members, by the way, membership is only $2 a month, which is a pretty damn good deal. But one of the things that we're going to add, practice plans that break down skill development, how much skill development is in a practice, how much offensive development, how much defense. You can literally pick through based on your skill level and age group. If you want to have a skills heavy practice, you can select that, download it, and there'll be links to every drill that we've talked about. in the practice plan, and you can download those drills. One of the great things that I'm looking forward to in our membership program, the practice plans are going to be extremely valuable for coaches. So with our first seven podcast episodes, we had the full court press where you had to answer questions as quickly as possible. Based on this organization conversation that we've had, I'll give you one full court press question. Would you rather have an unorganized, experienced employee or player, or an organized, unexperienced employee or player?
I'll take the organized, younger, or less experienced person, because I think with the organizational tools that that person has or offers, is going to allow you to get further ahead with them.
There you have it. Hopefully after listening to this, it's clear that being organized not only makes your job easier as a coach, but it makes your team more efficient. Being organized going into practices can maximize your gym time and keep your players fully engaged throughout. We mentioned practice plans in our discussion earlier, and it's something that's coming to Coach Calls Timeout very soon. We're excited to offer our members fully organized practice plans based on skill level and age group. Each plan will have recommended drills and will clearly display the amount of time geared toward the development of skills, offense, defense, and even how much time will be dedicated to fun. Just download and go. This episode was brought to you by Audible, the worldwide leader in audiobooks. As a listener to our podcast, you can go to audibletrial.com/coach to receive a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial with Audible. Choose from a wide variety of books to listen to on the go or while you're relaxing. You can show your support for our podcast by going to audibletrial.com/coach to start your free trial now. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on iTunes. To leave a review, go to the show notes, coachcallstimeout.com/9, that's the number 9, and click leave an iTunes rating and review. Reviews really do help other coaches find us. Or you can also share the link on social media. Our next episode is part 3 of the Basketball Coaching Roadmap. We talk about the importance of being able to adapt and some clues to look for that will help you adapt to situations quicker. That's all for now, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.